Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Wow, it's an amazing day. It's a good day. Really appreciate the songs, and I also appreciate Sunday school. You know, Brother Joe talked about Sunday school. Go ahead and go back to the website if you weren't here for Sunday school and listen to Brother Dave. Awesome Sunday school. You know, friends, it is a blessing and a privilege to be here this morning, and it's an awesome day. But what makes it awesome? For us as believers, what makes it awesome is that Jesus Christ has paid our sin debt in full and given us the free gift of everlasting life. Isn't that an amazing thing that we should never lose sight of? I think a lot about the world's philosophy, and I appreciate, you know, Brother Dave going through Ezekiel and talking about the world's philosophy and people trusting in their heart. How many times do you hear the modern counsel today is just follow your heart? They talk about a lot of positive affirmations, you know, that you're amazing. You're a good person. No matter what the Bible says, you're good enough. You know, the Bible tells us the truth that we all need to know. And the Word of God is alive and powerful, and it stirs us up. It convicts us. It's a mirror that reflects who we are and who God is. And so I think for a child of God, for someone who's been born again, we should start our morning off with a positive affirmation saying, "Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've paid my sin debt in full, and you've given me the free gift of everlasting life. Amen. Help me, Lord, to follow you. I want to walk in the light. I want to love you and serve you and obey your truth." Amen. Amen. This morning, I want to talk about our sensitivity to sin. We live in a world today where it's easy to drift away from God, and there's a danger in that. So let's turn in our Bibles, if you would, to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews this morning, chapter 3, verse 12. You know, I entitled this message this morning, "The Sensitivity to Sin," because sin is so serious. The Bible describes God's nature, and God's nature is holy. Sin is serious because God is trying to get our attention, saying, "Hey, sin is going to harm you. Sin enslaves people. Sin only leads to pain and death. Sin always brings judgment." Galatians 6, 7 says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." We don't ever want to forget the power of God's Word. So let's look at Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. The Bible says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened with the deceitfulness of sin." Let's have a word of prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, I'm just so grateful for your amazing grace today, and thank you for the gift of life and this opportunity to gather in your house today. Lord, I alone am very weak and frail, and I know that your strength is enough to sustain and direct my path today. So I simply just offer my heart and my mind and my life to you today, that you would speak to me and through me. And Lord, that your word would be proclaimed today in your spirit of power, in your spirit of love, and in your spirit of a sound mind. Lord, help me to be out of the way, and may we be drawn closer to you today by your Holy Spirit and the power of your word. Thank you, Lord, for this church. Thank you for the congregation. Lord, thank you for Pastor Rick and Kelly. Pray that you'd bless them as they continue to spend time with family in Florida. And Lord, we lift up all the prayer requests mentioned this morning. Those that are lost and in need of redemption, those that are suffering in need of your comfort. Lord, you know the needs. We pray that you just meet those needs according to your will. Above all things, Lord, I want you to be glorified today. And so I humbly pray that you would bless this service, and that your word would go forth and accomplish what you please and what you planned. Lord, in all things, we just are careful to give you all the honor and glory, and we just offer this service for you in the righteous and holy name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
You know, friends, I was going through the book of Hebrews, and I was thinking about God's amazing truth. And in chapter 3 here in Hebrews, in verse 12, he says, take heed. There's a lot of times where we open the Bible and we see warnings. And I think warnings are good because warnings keep us from danger. So how sensitive to sin are we? There are real dangers in drifting away from God. It says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Remember what Romans 14:23 says there towards the end of that verse. It says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. It is so easy today to preach a God full of love, grace, mercy, and God is all those things. Amen. It's easy to believe in a God that's nothing but grace and mercy and love. Amen. But the same God that is love and full of grace and rich in mercy is also a God of righteousness. He's also a God of holiness. He's a God of absolute truth, and he's a God of judgment. So when you look at what Hebrews 3:12 says, it says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is deceitful because we often get kind of accustomed to the casual day-to-day flow of this world and its system. But do you guys realize that the current and the flow of this world and our own flesh and the devil himself are always flowing away from God? It's never in alignment or unity with God. In fact, it's in rebellion to God. And so I want to talk a little bit about how sensitive are we to sin on a daily basis. As believers, I think we need to, as Hebrews says, exhort one another daily. We do that by encouraging, inviting, and kind of counseling or warning one another with the Word of God. You know, the first point I think I want to make this morning is just breaking down what is sin. We all hear about sin. We all talk about sin. But as believers, sometimes we can get a little bit complacent and kind of drift into our own comfort zone and forget the power of God's Word. But the bottom line is, sin is anything that breaks God's laws. 1 John 3, 4 says, whosoever commits sin transgresses the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. So to break it down simply, sin is anything that breaks or violates God's laws. Not my interpretation, not your interpretation, God's laws. It's simply going our own way instead of going God's way. It's the essence of pride. And friends, God's standards just never change. His righteous truth is never relative. Today we see a ton of application of relativism. People want to come up with their own truth. They want to justify their own thoughts, their own words, and their own deeds instead of facing the absolute truth of God's Word. And frankly, when you look at God's laws, the basic hallmarks of God's laws are encompassed within the Ten Commandments. And see, no one's able to keep the Ten Commandments. We didn't have to learn how to lie. We didn't have to learn how to be self-centered. I didn't have to learn how to be full of anger and discontentment or even covet. You know, by nature, you and I are all lawbreakers and rebels by nature. We're disobedient by nature. We're good at breaking God's laws, and that's why we're all guilty before God. That's why Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The bottom line is, God is the one that created us. God knows us. He gave us all these choices, and when, as believers, we choose to drift away from God, and we fail to do what God's called us to do, and we sin against Him, it robs God of the glory that's due His name. Listen to Psalm 94, verse 6. I'm going to dive right into some scripture. You can turn there if you'd like, but for sake of time, I'm going to plow through pretty fast here. So Psalm 94, 6 says, they slay the widow and the stranger and murder the fatherless. Yet they say, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. Understand, ye brutish among the people, and ye fools, when will you be wise? He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chasteneth the heathen, shall he not correct? He that teacheth man knowledge, shall he not know? The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. God not only created this, but he sees everything. He knows all. Every thought, word, and deed. Proverbs 15:3 says, for the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. You know, in Job, he says, for his eyes are upon the ways of man, and he sees all his goings. There is no darkness nor shadow of death where the workers of iniquity may hide themselves. We think about sin sometimes, especially those subtle sins of the mind, that somehow we can hide those from God. How many times do Christians fail to remember God sees our thought life? The dangers of drifting away from God in becoming insensitive to sin is revealed in Scripture so many times that God's warning us, stop hurting yourself, don't go your own path, follow my path and be blessed. You know, the bottom line is God created us to have a relationship with Him forever. And that's a beautiful thing. The chief end of man is to bring glory to who? God. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or evil. That's Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 and 14. One of the wisest men that ever walked the streets of the Old Testament there, Solomon, wrote those words by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. You see, when I think about our sensitivity to sin and I think about the dangers of drifting away from God in this age that we live in, I think about those Ten Commandments. Oftentimes people have a misunderstanding of God's Word and they apply their own perspective on God's Word. You see, the Ten Commandments are not just some arbitrary list of rules and expectations that God has hammered down on us to make us feel all guilty and condemned. The Ten Commandments, as described in the Word of God, it's an expression of God's nature. That's who God is. His nature is perfect. It's just, it's holy, it's uncompromised. It is a nature of pure integrity. And the bottom line is, when we see the Ten Commandments, we all know that we have all broken God's moral laws, because no one is perfect in thought, word, or deed. And it's Jesus Christ alone that stepped into humanity once and for all to pay our sin debt in full by going to that cross, bleeding and paying for the sin debts of the world, dying and raising again on the third day. That's the amazing thing that believers who have been born again, when they've repented of their sin and they've trusted in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, we can now boast that our sins are paid in full. Now, that doesn't mean that we get to just live however we want to and go on pursuing our own selfish ambitions and desires and think that God's going to continue to bless us. So I talk about the sensitivity to sin. I want to talk about how important it is to understand. Bottom line is, folks, we are saved. Those of us who are born again, we're saved eternally. It's once and for all. It can't be taken away from us. Once you're born again, you can't be unborn. You don't lose what God's given you. But we are saved once and for all. We're saved from sin's penalty. Again, sin's penalty is an eternal destination and a place the Bible calls hell. A lot of churches don't want to talk about hell. A lot of churches don't want to talk about judgment. A lot of churches won't talk about absolute truth and righteousness. They make an easy believism out of grace and mercy, but they don't ever want to talk about God's absolute truth. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. That's eternal separation from God in a place called hell. And hell is not a scare tactic, friends. When we're sharing the gospel with people and we're trying to plead with people to turn, to repent of their sin and trust in Jesus Christ, it's not a manipulative ploy. Hell is not a myth, it's not a scare tactic, and it's not temporary. Hell is an eternal, just sentence for all sinners who refuse to repent of their sin and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. See, we as believers have been saved from that penalty. That ought to be a daily praise and an affirmation. The first thing we roll out of bed, we ought to just say, "Thank you, Lord. You've given me a new heart, a new desire. You've saved me from sin's penalty." But also, He saved us from sin's power. You guys realize that temptation never takes a time off. They never go on vacation, right? The world, our own flesh that kind of follows us around wherever we go, and Satan himself and his demons, they are always opposed to God. They're always tempting us 24/7 to sin against God. And temptation never takes time off. You know, we need to remember who we are in Jesus Christ and remember that He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Sin is always an offense and a reproach because God is always holy. Like I said before, we never lose our salvation, but what sin does is it hinders our relationship with Jesus Christ. See, the two extremes that Christians can sometimes find themselves weaving off into is legalism or license. Christians are never to get caught up in legalism, which is simply trying to jump through a bunch of religious hoops to earn God's favor. We don't have to serve God out of duty. What we serve God out of is devotion. But we also don't want to fall into license where we abuse God's grace and think that we can somehow live however we want to and that God's grace will just cover it all. Sin is always a reproach to a holy God. What we do as born-again believers is we obey Jesus Christ as Lord because we love Him. We're born again, we're made new by trusting alone in Him, and it's by His grace that we're saved. We talk about Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 all the time, and I think it's a good memory verse just to remind ourselves, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And we need to remember this morning that our new relationship with God means that we now house the Holy Spirit. You ever stop to think about that? I think it's easy to get distracted with everything going on in the world, and we forget the simple truths of God's Word. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians 6:19. The amazing thing about God's Word is it gives us an assurance and a hope that we can trust in God's Word because it's the anchor that keeps us stable. It's the truth that never lies. And as born-again believers, once we've turned from our sin, we've had a change of mind and a change of direction, and we've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. We've believed on Him with all of our heart. We now house the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, "What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." I read verses like that, and then I think to myself, how serious is sin before a holy God? It's eternally serious. You see, we enjoy this relationship with Jesus Christ forever. And sin will damage our fellowship with Him. The union is never broken once you're born again, but the communion can be interrupted. So another point is not only to understand what sin is, but also that sin by itself in its own nature is very deceptive and is very destructive. Proverbs 14:12 says that there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Romans 6:23, I mentioned it earlier, the wages of sin is death. Proverbs 13:15 says, good understanding gives favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard. Sin only leads to dead ends. It's a shortcut that never leads anywhere good. Sin hardens our heart. It numbs our convictions. It can grieve the Holy Spirit, like Ephesians 4:30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. Sin can also quench the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, quench not the Holy Spirit. You see, over and over, when I read the Bible, I'm reading a love letter from God to sinful mankind. And God wants to change us. He wants to take us from our sin and our darkness and transform us into His light. And that's how serious sin is. It doesn't diminish His love and His grace. His truth actually, it just kind of emboldens and highlights His amazing grace and love and mercy, because His truth is never compromised. He wants to transform us. In fact, this word sanctification that we talk about a lot is a daily process of just simply saying no to sin and saying yes to following the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we talk about our sensitivity to sin, I want to talk about daily inviting the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to examine our hearts, examine our minds, our thoughts, and our motives, and our lives. Brother Dave mentioned Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is quick and powerful. That word quick means living or alive. The Word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. When I open this book, it reads me better than I can read myself. And I need that. We need that. We need to be sensitive to sin today, because temptation never takes a time off. Hebrews 4:12 reminds us that this book is power. It's not written by man, it's written by God. Psalm 139, verse 1 says, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought from afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Amen. And at the end of that psalm, Psalm 139 is a powerful psalm, by the way. I mean, every psalm in the book is powerful. But Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24 is like a prayer that we all should pray on a daily basis. 23 and 24 says, Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. How easy is it to drift away from God and lose our sensitivity to sin? We need to remember that God sees the thought life. So the bottom line is, the encouragement for me and for us this morning out of the Word of God is that what sets us free from sin and changes our life on a daily basis? It's God's amazing grace and His unchanging truth. God is just one step away from a sinner that's lost in his path, or a Christian that's backslidden and doing things his own way. Let's turn to James 4:6 real quick and look at some very familiar passages, but it's an encouragement to me to read through the Scriptures. I'm amazed today that God is patient, He's loving, He's gracious and kind, and God longs to change you and me. But part of that process of changing us is making us more sensitive to His holy standards and recognizing, hey, God wants to change us, but He has to sometimes humble us a little bit before He changes us, huh? That's the hope of the gospel, isn't it? That God offers grace to the humble. No matter how far down the road of rebellion we've gone, God is just one step away, and His grace is unmerited and undeserved. I can't earn it. I don't deserve it. But James 4:6 starts off with an amazing passage here. It says, But He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. You ever find yourself getting wrapped up into pride? Thinking that your way is okay. You could start making excuses and justifying different thoughts and different words and different actions. Remember, God wants to change us, but He can't change the proud heart. He can't change the backslidden. He has to get our attention. He giveth more grace, wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Then it says, Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. The bottom line is, repentance is a daily changing of the mind that always leads to a change of direction. We've repented once when we were lost and heard the gospel and were born again. You repent and you trust alone in what Jesus Christ did for you. But we repent on a regular basis as Christians, don't we? We continue to face a wicked world. We continue to get challenged by our old flesh, the old sin nature. And we have to daily draw near to God, and He'll draw near to us. We cleanse our hands. We purify our hearts by the Word of God. You see, a right view of God is a biblical view. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. That's Proverbs 9:10. And in Proverbs 16:6, it says, "By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil." Many fail to see the holiness of God, and they fail to see the sinful depravity that lurks within all of us. Mankind by nature is a sinner. He's a lawbreaker. And again, the same God who is full of love and grace and rich in mercy is also a God who's holy, unchanging, righteous, a God of judgment. Many times we get distracted and lose our sensitivity to sin, and then we find ourselves in a bad spot where we're wrapped up in fears and doubts, or maybe anger and pride, and justifying certain behaviors that clearly violate God. How many times do we have misplaced fears because of a wrong view of God and a wrong view of His truth? How much time do we spend in God's Word every day? And this is convicting for me. How much time do we spend in prayer? When sin pops up and the Spirit of God convicts us, do we confess it? Do we pray for God's grace to change us? Do we pray for God's grace to help us forsake that sin? Do we obey what God's Word tells us to obey? Jesus made it pretty clear in Matthew 10:28. He said, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Remember, God's holy, He's just, He's righteous, and His judgment is perfect. His judgment is thorough, down to the very thoughts and intentions of our heart. Now, He'll give grace to the humble, but He gives judgment to the proud. Sin must be paid for because God is holy. Sin either gets paid at the cross of Jesus Christ or in a place called hell and eventually the lake of fire. That's how serious sin is. And for the Christian, we need to remember our sin weakens our witness. It dims the light of Jesus Christ. It robs God of His glory. We need to be sensitive to sin today. Daily we need to pray, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." You know, Satan has been lying to each and every one of us from the very beginning. In Genesis chapter 3, he told Eve, "You shall not surely die." He was trying to get Eve to disobey God through deception. He said, "You're going to be like as gods, knowing good and evil." Satan lies to us all the time to get us to minimize sin and water down God's judgment and dilute God's holiness. God's nature never changes. And I think about the lost in the world. You know, as Christians, we're to be a bright light, not a dim light. We're to be a strong, bold witness, not a weak witness. Our sin weakens our witness. It just does. The bottom line is, we have to stand firm and true by faithfully believing and obeying God's Word and following the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, the lost are blinded by the god of this world. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. We as Christians are the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just remember, we can be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And I heard a guy say it this way: sin is not like a cream puff to avoid at the dessert table, but it's a rattlesnake to run from because it's that deadly. Remember, the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 2:22, it says, "Flee youthful lusts. Don't casually give a little attention to it and let your imagination run wherever it wants to. It says, flee youthful lusts. In 1 Corinthians 6:18, it says, flee fornication. In 1 Thessalonians 5:22, it says, abstain from all appearance of evil. Colossians 3 says we're to mortify the flesh. I want to turn to Romans chapter 6 and verse 11 this morning. Bottom line for me, as I read the Word of God, I read the power of God's Word. God's nature never changes. And the bottom line is He's warning us, we either put sin to death or sin puts us to death. We either kill sin or sin will kill us. Now, God never calls any born-again believer to walk and talk as a perfect human being. We know, 1 John tells us, if we say that we're without sin, we're a liar, right? But what God calls us to do is to daily be sanctified, made holy, set apart from this world, and be drawn closer to Him. How? By believing and obeying His Word. Hebrews talks about how we can be deceived. We can have an evil heart of unbelief and depart from the living God. God's Word gives us faith. We need to continue to believe and obey it. We need to daily repent. We need to confess. We need to forsake sin. How? Through the power of God's Word, through the power of His Spirit, through the power of His prayer. Romans 6:11 says, likewise, reckon ye your also your... Let me try that again. Romans 6:11 says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You realize dead men can't sin? When you're dead, you're not going to act out in a sinful way. The Bible reminds us, warns us, encourages us. It says, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Then it says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lusts thereof. So question for us this morning, right now, who sits on the throne of your thought life? You know, sin always begins with a thought. If we want to get sensitive to sin and understand God's holiness, we need to get in this book. We need to read the Word of God. We need to understand God's nature. It says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. And then it says in verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Born-again believers should have sin's power broken in their lives because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Sometimes we can all get a little nose blind to sin. You ever think about that? You can spend time around somebody, and I've spent time around folks that maybe were a little less hygienic than you would prefer, and there's a stink about them. Sometimes those people can't smell their own stink because they've become so accustomed to it, they become kind of nose blind to the smell. That's the deceitfulness of sin in our lives. Sometimes we can get so accustomed and immune to these thoughts that sin will start to harden our heart. It'll start to scar our spiritual sensitivity. Now, we don't want that today. God wants to use us to be a bright, shining light for Jesus Christ. We can be deceived, self-deceived, in thinking that we're doing okay. We're showing up to church. Maybe we're cracking the book open every once in a while. But we're completely insensitive to the dangers of sin. Wherefore, let him that think he standeth take heed lest he fall. That's what 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12 says. We've got to always be awake and be aware. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Guess what? We've got a target on our backs as believers, and Satan is a roaring lion who wants to devour us. Now, thank God, as believers in Jesus Christ, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But God can't bless disobedience, and he will not sanctify the proud. He gives grace to who?
The humble.
The humble. He gives grace to the humble. You see, our witness today as Christians should demonstrate a redeemed life. Can people see the redemptive work of Jesus Christ in our lives? God will enable us to endure temptation. You know, we also can get stuck in this whole deal about the blame game. James 1:12 says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried," not if we're tried, but when, right? We're going to be tempted 24/7. "But when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him." You see, friends, if we're Christians, if we're born again, and we continue to live a pattern and a lifestyle in thought, word, or deed that violates God's holy standards and sin and live however we want to, we need to really back up and make sure our calling and election is valid. We need to examine ourselves whether we be in the faith. If we continually give in to temptation and sin without conviction, without chastisement, without the Lord really hammering down saying, "Hey, you're my child, I don't want you behaving like this," it just begs the question, do we really love the Lord Jesus Christ? Remember, Jesus Christ came to pay our sin debt in full, not to make us happy, healthy, and wealthy, not to give us a right political view, not for life enhancement. He came to pay our sins. And then he came to free us from sin's power. Has sin's power been broken in your life? James 1:13 says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And when sin is finished, it brings forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." It's not a matter of if Christians are going to be tempted to sin. In fact, as born-again believers, the closer we get to following Jesus Christ and obeying Him and seeking His truth, the more that current is going to be visible and we're going to be aware, hey, there's a lot of opposition that wants me to be drawn away and drift away from God. A preacher once said, "You can't keep birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair." You see, we can say no to temptation and sin because Jesus Christ now dwells within us. We now house the Holy Spirit. We have a choice every day, though. He's not going to force us into blind obedience. 1 John says, "You are of God, little child, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Is Jesus Christ ruling and reigning in our hearts? So how do we get more sensitive to sin? It's just like Hebrews 3:13 says, we exhort one another daily. We encourage one another daily. We pray for one another. We fellowship in the Word of God, just like we're doing this morning. We share truth with one another. We encourage one another. We offer counsel and we warn one another. Sin only separates us from a holy God. Sin will store up God's wrath. It stores up God's judgment. Not just for the lost and the unbelieving, but God's going to chasten those who are His. He loves us that much that He wants to change us. You know, sometimes we offer counsel and warning, and it can seem like it's a little bit of a pinch. You know, people get a little bit upset with us if we're going to offer a little bit of counsel, or we confront something that is a known sin in somebody that's close to us. But, you know, Proverbs 27:5 says, open rebuke is better than secret love. And faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. I'm not called to be happy. I'm called to be holy. I'm a sinner that's been saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. I'm not called to be rich. I'm called to be righteous. The only way I get that process of sanctification to start working in my life is do what Romans 6 says. I've got to yield my life to Jesus Christ as members of righteousness. I've got to be dead to sin. 1 Peter 1:13 says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. But as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." That's our lifestyle. We're not to be conformed to the old man or conformed to the ways of the world. We're to be transformed by the Word of God. We're to be obedient children. We can overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. You know, those three powerful enemies, they'll get stronger and stronger as the days get darker and darker. But the bottom line is, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Ephesians 6:10 says we're to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So as we close, I just want to talk about the deceptiveness of sin, the destructive power of sin, and where Christians ought to be at today. So turn to Romans chapter 13, verse 11. We stay sensitive to sin when we daily invite the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God to transform us. The Bible was not written for our information, but for our transformation. God's Word is quick and powerful. It is alive and powerful. It is designed to transform us. And as believers, we ought to shout amen to that. There is only one truth that transforms. It's God's truth. Everything else is relative and will start to make excuses for sin. I don't want to lose that sensitivity to God's standards. And so we need to stay sensitive to sin. We need to daily invite God to examine our hearts and minds. Remember this, eternity is forever. And one day we're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and give an account to Him. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. And Paul goes on to say, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. That's 2 Corinthians 5, verses 10 and 11. So in closing, let's take a look at what Romans 13, 11 says. As the days get darker, the light of Jesus Christ needs to shine brighter and brighter. Sin only weakens our witness. It only dims the light of Jesus Christ. And man, we need to do everything today to devote our hearts and lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to confess our sins because He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need to shine bright for Him. Romans 13, 11 says, "And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." How bright is your light shining today for Jesus Christ? Do you love Him? Do you keep His commandments? If you love me, keep my commandments. That's what Jesus said in John 14, 15. Luke 6:46, he says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, if you do not the things which I say?" If we have drifted away from God, remember this, friends, He's one step away. He loves us that much that He wants to change us and transform us, and He'll give grace to the humble. Romans 13 and verse 13 goes on to say, it says, "Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying." That's a list of sin and violation and rebellion against God. We're called to walk honestly as in the day. People ought to be able to look at us and say, you know, there's something different about you. You're not like everybody else. You don't do and go the places, you do the same things or go to the same places that the rest of the world does. We ought to be a bright, shining light for Jesus Christ. So we're not to walk in rioting and drunkenness. We're not to be chambering and full of impure desires or wantonness. We're not to be full of strife and envying. But verse 14 nails it, doesn't it? It says, "But put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." You know, Ephesians reminds us that we're to put off the old conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. I can't make myself holy. I wish I could. Pastor Rick talks about wishing there was a button over there on the wall. He could just run over and hit that button and be made perfect and righteous and holy. Friends, God has designed a process called sanctification, where He wants His born-again child to follow Him faithfully by believing and obeying His word. It's a simple formula. And I can't think of anything more important than where we spend eternity, in knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and then turning around and making Him known to a lost and dying world that's full of deception and sin. We need to have the light of Jesus Christ shining bright today. Amen. Let's pause for a moment of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, so grateful for Your word today. I'm just thankful for the breath of life that You've given us, and Lord, this opportunity to be in Your house today. Thankful for Your amazing grace. And Lord, Your love and Your grace and Your mercy, I know it doesn't diminish Your righteousness. It never compromises Your holiness. Your judgment is pure and righteous altogether. Lord, I thank You for the amazing work of Jesus Christ, that You demonstrate Your love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Lord, thank You for the promise of eternal life and the full redemption from sin's penalty. But thank You, Lord, also for the ability to completely break sin's power in our lives. Lord, I pray for all of us that if we've become insensitive to sin, if we've drifted into complacency, draw us back by Your amazing Spirit. Help us to remember who we are in Jesus Christ. Help us to have a desire to love You, to serve You, to obey You. Help us to know Your truth, believe it, and obey it. Lord, may we be a bright light for You today. May we walk from here back into this week and seek opportunities to bring You glory with a separated life, with a holy life, with a gospel witness to those that are lost. And Lord, in all things, we praise You. We love You. We thank You for loving us. And I lift Your name up today, and I give You all the glory. It's in Your righteous and holy and powerful name I pray this morning, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hey, I appreciate everybody being here this morning. I hope everybody has a blessed week. Brother Joe, you got a song for us?